Mike, new member of the defense. How's that going, Joe?
It's going well. I mean, he's a guy that even last year when he played scout team, it really jumped out at us that his ability to move his feet and cover. He just seemed very instinctive. So, as a defensive coach, you're always looking for guys that can help you. And so we've been planting the seed with Rex for a long time with that. Just, hey, if you're not using them, you're not using them. So, again, it was something this was actually was kind of in the works already. And then the situation came up, need some depth over there. It just seemed a natural thing to do. But, again, I know he's not, a situation where he's full-time. I mean, I think he's a good enough athlete that he can bounce back and forth some, but the training has begun. There's a lot of things that he needs to learn and needs to work on for, if it ever gets to the point where he's, that he can be out there in more of a role than just spot duty.
What's the biggest thing that he'd like hurdle or whatever you make that switch?
I just think it's the techniques, the terminology. I mean, it's sometimes easy to say, cover that guy. But then there's a lot of things involved with it. Teams start to stack their receivers or bunch the receivers or they move them and they get them in a position where DBs have to work together. And that's, I think, the big part of it. Joe hasn't done it. It's a matter of gaining that experience in practice and having the ability for him to communicate. But again, could he go out there and play some snaps for us this weekend? Absolutely. I mean, there's enough of a foundation there that if the need arose, that he'd be able to do it.
Mike, could you take us through your week just from the shock of losing Darrell on Sunday and trying to reconfigure whatever you have to reconfigure, and just emotionally and also from X's and O's standpoint?
Yeah, the tough part, you're trying to enjoy a win, but at the same time, you can't enjoy it too much knowing that one of your that your best player has suffered a significant injury. So again, it was the celebration was certainly muted. And again, as coaches, you're always in the world of assume the worst, hope for the best. And so right away, I mean, we're on the plane on the ride home, just starting to figure, hey, this is what we're going to have to do moving forward, making the assumption that was going to be a longer term injury. But again, that's the world of the NFL. There's no sympathy cards in the mail, and every week's a short one, other than your bye week. So we needed to move on, and that's the approach that we took. You kind of inventory where you are, and again, as a coordinator or as a defensive staff, you're always in the business of let's put our best 11 on the field, and then let's also take inventory of what our skill set is. What do we do well? And then match what we're playing. To do that, so there's nobody that can just step in and replace Darrell Revis. I mean, we're not foolish enough to think that we can just continue to do what we've been doing. But we have some pretty good players in that room as well. So, again, I think a lot of people take the knee-jerk reaction of the sky's falling and they lost their best player. We have some really good players in that room and some really prideful guys as well. So to replace somebody like that, it's you ask everybody to step up. That the defensive line, that our pass rush has to be better. The guys on the back end, our communication has to be better. How we interact, that we need to be on point in order to compensate for losing him. So I think the guys have really taken that to heart this week. We've had a great week of practice. And again, we're looking forward and going up against a really good football team.
Is that an impossible job for?
I'm sorry. Go.
I just want to follow up on that. So, assuming the worst, because that's what coaches do. So you're at 30,000 feet flying home, and you're already starting. The wheels are starting to turn. Like you're throwing around some concepts with Rex or some of the assistants on like how you would go about life without Revis. You're
that's
starting at that point.
Reasonably accurate.
Yeah, there's no time to wallow in.
You can't because then when you do that, that's just time lost. It's wasted. I mean, in this league, you always have to be moving forward to the next challenge.
So in some ways, does Cal Wilson have a bit of an impossible task?
I don't think so, and I certainly don't think we want to even talk about it in those terms for him, because that would be unfair to do to anybody. Kyle Wilson's going to give us his best, and we're also going to put him in situations where he can succeed. So we have a lot of confidence in him. He had a great offseason. He's off to a good start this year. and again, but we're not going to ask him to be, I mean, to be Durrell and put him out there, you know, on one side of the field all by himself without any help anywhere nearby. I mean, we wouldn't do that. So again, you know, Kyle's going to continue to be him, and we're not going to ask him to be anything more than that.
Mike, like, against
what's your confidence level that Cromartie can consistently match up with the top guys? He's obviously got the ability, but the consistency.
Yeah, I mean, I think he proved that against Miami's top receiver. He had the one lapse and the one play in overtime. But up until that point, I think Hartline had been targeted 8 times and didn't have a catch. So when, as we all know, when Crow's dialed in, you know, he can be, you know, as good as there is in the game. So, again, and that's his challenge, and he knows it, and it didn't even need to be said that, hey, that I need to step up, that there are going to be some defenses. We're not all of a sudden going to change our package and become a Tampa 2 team and just say, hey, listen, we're going to protect our corners every snap. That's not what we do. So there are going to be times when, you know, when he's going to be asked to do that, and when it's happened in the past, he's risen to the occasion. So, again, we're full speed ahead, and I know Cromartie does a great job preparing, and we're expecting him to play well.
Mike, how much do you go back to the Pittsburgh game since Durrell didn't play in that one? Do you look at that game at all and say, okay, here's some of the stuff without him in the lineup that we did work, some that didn't work? Do you inventory that game at all just to kind of see how you adjusted to it in that game?
Yeah, I mean, just in general terms, we have an inventory of defenses, and we kind of each week kind of highlight a certain section of it, and a lot of it's based on the personnel that's available. So I wouldn't say the plan is exactly the same as Pittsburgh, but there are some similarities from a coverage concept standpoint, knowing that he won't be in there.
How much different do you think your defense is going to look without Durrell on a consistent basis, and may that actually, I don't know, say work to your advantage, but are you going to be showing a lot of stuff that people haven't seen because you've always had Durrell in?
We'll do some things different. I don't know if it'll be a marked difference. There'll be some subtle things, but I don't think it'll be, you're not going to watch the game and say, wow, I don't recognize that defense. That's totally different because he's not there.
Sort of kind of on those same lines, Mike. I mean, you said that you can't replace him, and it'd be foolish to assume that things would go on as normal, I suppose. But how would you sort of characterize how much of a difference it will be? You know, I mean, like we all make a big deal out of losing Durrell, and I know it's a huge loss from your perspective. But can you characterize the adjustments that you're going to have to make?
Again, it won't be anything major. I think the differences will be subtle, but again, there's certainly some calls that will stay out of, and some of the calls we'll stay out of this week is more because of the nature of the opponent than necessarily our situation. So the game plan changes each week. I've used the analogy before. It's custom tailors. We're making a suit each week, and we have to build the plan based on two things: the opponent, what they do, and then what do we have available from our perspective. So that's the challenge each week for us as coaches is to build that plan to not only fit to defend what they do, but also to have it, you know, favor our stronger players in matchups and protect our guys that might need protection.
So then you wouldn't expect any sort of philosophical change or anything that would, over the course of this season, that you would see from start to finish?
I wouldn't say anything, nothing major.
Has there been any additional game planning, Mike, or any additional meetings with UNDT or anything like that?
We've spoken briefly. I wouldn't say it was any more than what we've needed to do, because I think we've gone through this before. I mean, we just, as was mentioned at the Pittsburgh week, in prior years when he was out, when he had the hamstring. So again, this isn't something that it's never happened before and we're unprepared for. I mean, he's a great player, and again, he'll be missed, but at the same time, I mean, that's the way that's just the mindset of what we are. We have to move on, and again, it's we're full speed ahead, and we look at who we have to defend and who we have available to defend them, and build the plan, and again, have at it. I mean, that's the nature of the NFL.
But is there a different feeling preparing for 13 games rather than one or two, if you know, with a hamstring?
No, I mean it's week to week. We don't you really can't look at it that way because each week presents a new challenge. Things change from the opponent's standpoint. Things will change from our standpoint. So it's hard we're not going to make a 13. There's nothing I can plan for today that's going to help us in week 13 or 14. I can only worry about the San Francisco 49ers.
Where's Copeland at right now? Rex said he had a great practice yesterday.
He's really stepped it up. I mean, he's been impressive in practice. And, you know, the big thing now is get him to carry it over to the game. He's flashed in games. He's made some plays. But again, as with rookies, you want him to. It's the level of consistency, and there's no substitute for game experience against NFL teams. I mean, you can have you practice all you want in a preseason game, but again, there's no substitute for playing. And we went through the same thing with Muhammad a year ago that he steadily got better as the year went on, and with Quentin, it's I think along those same lines that he's just starting to get it. It's clicking. He's practicing better. And again, it's been nice to see the fact that he's been able to step up, and just both sides of the ball too. When he's actually on the scout team, going against our offense, I know he's really given a good look to those the offensive linemen.
Do you see him getting more of an opportunity on Sunday?
I do again, but it's hard to say that because it depends on the situation of the game. Is it San Francisco? I think one of their strengths is they pride themselves out of staying out of predictable passing situations. And again, we've always talked with Quentin in terms of working his reps from more of a passing situation forward to the run stuff. So it's hard to say whether that's going to translate into more reps for him this week.
Mike, at this point, is McKnight any more than an emergency injury replacement if you worst came to worst?
I'd say he's a little bit more than that.
So,
a little bit more. I mean, I wouldn't use the word emergency. I mean, he's again. It would just depend on the game. I mean, there he's not a starter in any package, but at the same time, I mean, there are some things that he's prepared to do.
Mike, have you been able to figure out the run defense problems and kind of target the areas that you want to correct there?
Yeah, because that was. That was tough for us to go down to Miami and defend the run that way after we had defended it so well against Pittsburgh. But to me, that was a credit to the Dolphins, their scheme. You know, I thought playing as many reps as we did, it wore on our guys a little bit. That's a tough place to go down there, and they're smart, being up-tempo and in the humidity down there. But for us, it was when we looked at it, it was a lot of it was alignment, it was assignment, it was technique. Guys, I think there were certain snaps that we used the phrase that went outlaw. A guy's supposed to be in a certain gap, and he's in another one. And again, that's how we pride ourselves on defending the run that way, where we not only are we great fundamentally, but from a technique and from an assignment standpoint, we're where we're supposed to be. And that's a big part of it. And I think there were times where we got out of place, guys trying to make plays that weren't theirs, and cost us a few times.
Mike, do you feel that because you and DT and Rex have worked together for so long that you have an advantage in dealing with this kind of situation?
We've seen a lot of situations together. If that's what you're asking, we've been through it.
Well, then you guys have had the same defense for so long that. Just sort of making and adjusting the stuff you guys have probably discussed at some point along the way anyway.
Yeah, I mean, again, just going back to all those Baltimore years that we've had situations where we've been down, whether it was corners, safeties, whatever it is. I mean, I think we've built a system that has the flexibility that we're just not going to push the next guy up on the depth chart and say, okay, here's our defense, play it. That we have the ability to kind of mix and match and make some subtle changes.
I think some of the players were talking about that outlaw thing last year, like around the Denver time. Is it just that you have to rein them in every couple of weeks? Or?
I don't. I know that it's happened before, but again, it's just something that I think the defensive line wise, I think their pride was a little hurt this game, and I think if you ask them, it's been a good week for them as far as refocusing and. And it's a great challenge to our run defense this week. I mean, it's not like we have a team coming in that doesn't run the football. They pride themselves in doing it. They put big people on the field, and you know, they have outstanding backs, one of the best offensive lines in football, and schematically they're one of the best, you know, run teams out there as well. So it's a huge challenge for us.
Like, you know, as you mentioned, Spiller and Bush both had a lot of success. And Frank Gore is an incredible back, but he's a different style kind of guy. Do these rushers more north-south guys? I mean, is that where you think your defense is best to stop the run?
No, I don't know. I don't know if you can just generalize it like that. I mean, you got. I mean, San Francisco has the Hunter kid, who's a pretty good back as well. So you know, a lot of those runs that we've given up weren't necessarily because of the style, but it was. But what they were, you know, were some. You know, every play has its own, you know, answer and own reason for when it's a negative play. So it's been a lot of different things.
Is Vernon Davis the first big test for your? Your revamped safety core as far as stopping tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, he's a test. I mean, he's right up there with Gronkowski as far as the best tight ends in football. But he's just the rare ability of a guy that can run 4.3, that can run by a corner. You know, it's difficult to you know, it's not just the safeties to me. That task is put on everybody where we're getting hands on with the line of scrimmage. We'll make sure we're playing with good eyes and you know, understand where he is and you know, at all times.
Good, everybody. Thank you, Coach.